I just got to tell y'all, everybody ought to get privileged to speak after a fanfare like that, right? Like, very little that I could say in this moment is going to stink because of what just happened. So, wow, are we grateful. And wow, what a wonderful Easter Resurrection Sunday that we have for you this morning. This is my 15th. I just realized that this morning driving over here. It is still as exciting, still as nerve-wracking, still as energizing as ever before. I want to thank just so many people for bringing this day forward. They're just an amazing number of volunteers. We had an outstanding... We do. We had an amazing outpouring of just really love yesterday at the Easter egg hunt. We've got a great youth drama lined up for you. We've got great music, right? It's a perfect day. And it's the perfect day because Jesus Christ is resurrected today, right? He lives, right? And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I just have a few announcements before we get started with worship. The first is this morning is the last time this month that we're collecting non-perishable food items for Nourish Up. The collection boxes are in the Narthex and Ed Building entrance. Thank you so much for your donations. Also, we have an adult Bible study. It is awesome, right? Come Sunday night, but don't come this night, right? Because it's Easter and we won't be meeting. But next week, sign up. Come. It's a non-linear class, so you can join at any time. And we cook a little something and have some fun. So please take advantage of that class. We have beautiful Easter lilies in our sanctuary. And man, doesn't it smell like Easter. And so those are listed in honor and in memory of people. If you put one in, we invite you to take it home today. So you can grab those as you work your way out. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any others that need to come before the congregation at this time?
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who are able to attend Maundy Thursday, it was a wonderful night. Dr. Sam Nadler presented an incredible message of the Passover in Jesus and how the Passover in the Old Testament is totally about Christ. If you did not have a chance to make it, we live streamed it, so please go online and watch it. It is really worth watching. He did an amazing job, and it just... He brings the scriptures together and ties everything perfectly for one book, and that focus is Christ. So if you get a chance, please do that.
Jason.
Yes.
The laundry ministry carried out its mission on Monday, and we had an unexpected visitor, Pud Thompson, whom you know, who sits back in the corner. He wanted to go with us, and he was in absolute awe. We were so grateful for him. And we handed out $100 in quarters. So thank you so very much.
Those being the announcements, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is risen. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad.
We come with joy.
The tomb is empty, the stone rolled away. Behold the miracle of life.
We stand in awe of your power, O God, ready to walk in the light of the risen Son.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen indeed. Let our hearts be filled with Easter joy.
Let us continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've woven eternity into the fabric of our very being, calling us from the temporal shadows into your everlasting and resplendent light. As we gather in celebration and remembrance, let us be deeply moved by the profound mystery and the mercy that is the resurrection. Christ's defeat of death, not as an abstract concept, but as the bedrock of our hope, the pinnacle of our faith, and the ultimate expression of your love for us. In this moment of sacred unity, guide us through a journey of emotions from mourning to comfort, from despair to hope, from solitude to community, each step drawing us closer to the heart of your promise, that in believing, we too shall share in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Let this assurance transform us, shaping our lives, our actions, and our relationships, anchoring us in the certainty of your eternal love. Lord, instill in us a renewed sense of purpose and joy that flows from the resurrection. May the reality of eternal life ignite within us a fervent desire to embody the compassion, grace, and love of Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Empower us through your Spirit to be agents of resurrection life in a world yearning for hope and redemption. As we bask in the light of this Easter dawn, we offer our prayers, our lives, and our hearts to you in profound gratitude for the gift of eternal life made possible only through Jesus Christ. May our songs of praise, our words of love, and our act of service be a testament to the resurrected life we celebrate today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and our hope for eternity, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us rise and with the joy of Christians sing hymn number 232 with words on the screen. First letter of John, the author writes, if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But John goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will not only forgive our sins, but he'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, we step before the Lord, uttering these words from the bottom of our hearts, confessing our sins, expecting not to be encountered with rebuke, but instead with amazing and lavish grace. So I invite you to join me in this morning's prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray together. Heavenly Father, on this day of resurrection, we come before you, our hearts brimming with awe and gratitude for the boundless love displayed through Jesus Christ. In the light of his victory over death, we recognize the shadows within us, our missteps and failings, not as marks of shame, but the very places your grace reaches deepest. Lord, we confess that we have often walked past, divergent from your will, led astray by our fears, desires, and the allure of worldly whispers. We admit to closing our eyes to the needs around us, to holding tightly to grudges and grievances, to letting the seeds of doubt and despair take root in our hearts. Renew us, O God, with assurance that no shadow within us is too deep for your light to penetrate, no barrier too high for your love to scale. In the power of Jesus' resurrection, remind us that we too are called from the graves of our own making, invited into a life that blooms with your grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this great and wonderful truth that cannot ever be removed from you, that by the waters of baptism you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that your sins are indeed remitted, past, present, and future, that you are free to live an abundant life now, leading into an eternal life tomorrow. Friends, I declare to you the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are absolutely and forever eternally forgiven. Amen. Gather our voices together now to sing our affirmation of faith. Be seated, and now we'll have a time that's just for the kids down here at front with Miss Rachel.
Hello? Okay, there we go. Good morning, everybody. I would like for you each to go ahead and grab a pen, if you will, so I've set them right there. Okay, I'll pass them out. You take a pen? You girls want to take pens? Oh, you got one. Perfect. You slip by me. All right. So do we know what today is? Easter. That's right. So the main theme of today is resurrection. Do we know what that big word means? So it means, say it again. Yes. Yeah, that's literally what it means. So to summarize, it's more of like a rebirth, right? So that can be interpreted different ways. We can talk about Jesus literally resurrecting and rising from the dead, or we can talk about the rebirth of our souls. And so what I want you to do with your pens is draw little tiny circles or however big you want in each of your palms. So go ahead and do that. And I'll talk to you while we do it. So while you draw, and I know most of you are right-handed, so in your left palm, I just want you to think about maybe some of the good things that you've done in the past coming days. You know, that's good, yeah. The good things that you've done, and how this circle will remind you of Jesus in those ways. And so now maybe go ahead and draw a similar circle in your other palm. And I want you to remember some of maybe the not so good things that you've done in the past couple days. And I want you to remember that Jesus loves you anyways. And the circle is a visual reminder of the holes in his hands and how these bad things held him to the cross, but they were left there when he was reborn, okay? So what that means is that we're forgiven, and those bad things don't hold us there anymore. So as you have these circles on your hands today, I just wanted to remind you that we're so thankful for everything that Jesus did for us, and we love him, and he loves us. Can we pray together? Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. For your visual love of hanging on the cross and coming back to life. Amen. You can each grab some more eggs if you'd like. There's plenty left.
Imagine yourself in the worst of all possible situations. Imagine yourself as one of the disciples.
Or as one of the women who followed Jesus.
Imagine that he is no longer among you because he is dead.
You saw him die. You saw them bury him in the tomb.
There is no doubt.
There is no hope.
There is no future.
You huddle together behind a locked door, fearing that those who tortured and killed him will come and find you next. What will happen to you, to your family, to your friends?
There is no doubt.
There is no hope.
There is no future.
You heard him say when he was alive that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again.
But you have forgotten those words, or at least they hold no hope for you now.
The horror of the crucifixion is still fresh in your mind. You see and hear him in agony there, dying right in front of you, when there is nothing you could do.
You think about your part in all of it, and wonder, what could you have done differently?
You have been frightened and hiding for days, but now it is Sunday.
Early on the first day. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen there, lying there, but did not go in.
Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen.
Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot.
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have taken him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
"Mary."
"Rabboni." In Aramaic, the word Rabboni means teacher.
"Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news.
"I have seen the Lord."
And she told them that he had these things to her. He said these things to her.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that, he breathed on them and said,
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have forgiven anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
"We have seen the Lord."
"Until I see the nail marks in his hands and I can touch them, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you." Oh, put your finger here, see my hand, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
"My Lord and my God."
"Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed."
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Imagine yourself in the best of all possible situations. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is dead, is now alive again.
By the power of the living God, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is alive forever.
The terror of yesterday is gone, and the fear of tomorrow is vanished.
Because of what Jesus did on the cross, mankind can be forgiven of sin.
And because he has been raised from the dead, mankind can live forever.
There is no doubt.
We have a hope.
We have a future.
God bless you and happy Easter.
Jesus is alive. Happy Easter.
I'll grab them. Okay, thanks.
Praising glory to the Lamb. Alive, 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 hallelujah.
fundamentally unfair that somebody has to preach today, right? You've got an amazing drama, amazing music, amazing scripture, amazing grace. We come now into a time where we do read and proclaim God's word, and we do so expecting not only to encounter God's grace, but to feel his spirit stir within our hearts. We begin with a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this Easter day, we pray for an abundance of your Holy Spirit. Allow us to feel your word move in our hearts, stirring us to that new life, to that awareness that this life is but a shadow of things to come, Father God, and that by your word and by your spirit, you are delivering us into that resurrected life through the days of an abundance and into your heavenly arms in the kingdom of God. Prepare us in our hearts for this reading and proclaiming of your word. In Christ's name, amen.
It is good just to sit back and soak it in, isn't it? It is. Let's remember today, I know we usually say this after the scripture reading, but let's remember that this really is the word of God, recorded for us, for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let's think about that Ezekiel, we're getting ready to witness something that Ezekiel saw that is just amazing. This is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 18. It's on 857 in the Pew Bible. Excuse me. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, O breathe, on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I got to tell you, this setup is new. And where there's new, there's always a chance for something happening. And I was actually at a wedding once where I fell off the back. So let me go ahead and say this. If I fall over, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Right? And that's enough of the sermon, I guess. So when I fall over, you know the word. I'm going to read what the kids just acted out, and they did a magnificent job, but let me come into the Word. We're going to John, the 20th chapter, The reading will be on your screen. I invite you to read along with me. Not aloud, but you know. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going forward. To the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I am going to try to restrain myself today to just being at the pulpit. We're going to see how that goes. If I start walking, y'all got to warn me, right? Don't go over the edge, Jason. As I said early in the service, this is actually my 15th Easter Sunday, my 15th chance to come and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ on this Resurrection Sunday. As I look back on it, I realize I realize how little I still know. But secondarily to that, what I realize is how much I've learned. And as I've walked through this series, I've kind of shared with you some of the missteps, the foibles, the mistakes that I've made being a pastor. And one of them happens to coincide with Easter Sunday. You see, I was trained at Myers Park Presbyterian Church, a very big, large steeple church. At the time, it had about 5,000 members. But my first call was to a much smaller church, the First Church of Mount Holly. But see, I had it in my mind that I knew how Easter was supposed to run. And so on my very first Easter, 2009, I decided to lead that congregation on what I was convinced was going to be the perfect Easter. After all, I'd learned it at Myers Park, right? How bad could that be? So the first thing we did was we dialed up a community-wide Easter egg hunt. The second thing we did was we lined up an actual honest-to-goodness sunrise service. The third thing we did was we got butterflies for everyone. So at the end of the service, we could go outside and, as a celebration of the resurrection, release these butterflies. But, guys, things started going wrong right at the beginning. We had advertised the Easter egg hunt on social media, which at the time was kind of a new thing. The church secretary kept saying to me, "Jason, we're getting a lot of calls. Do you think we should get more Easter eggs?" And I kept thinking, no, we've got plenty. We had about stuff for like 25 kids, right? You see where this is going? Well, a lot more showed up, and we didn't have anything for them to do, which is why yesterday's Easter egg hunt that Paige and the education committee put on was just fantastic. So we angered parents right off the bat. Way to go. Well, then for the sunrise service, you know, at Myers Park, they had all the chairs set out. So we put out all the chairs, except Myers Park had plastic ones. We had metal ones, and it was an early Easter. What happened? Well, they dewed over and then they froze. So the first people that made it to the sunrise service were, first of all, freezing because it was 38 degrees. It was March 28th, the earliest Easter in like 150 years. And so they sat, and then what did they find? Their bottoms were wet and cold. They got up. It was bad. It got worse. You see those butterflies that I had gotten for us, right? Well, the instructions said that if it wasn't 60 degrees, they'd stay dormant. It was 52 when we went out. So I want you to imagine everybody opens up these little decorative packages and find what essentially looks like a dead bug, right? They did perk up, some of them, Natalie can tell you. Some of them, I think, made it that day. It was so bad, I called it humorously Easter-geddon, because if it could have gone wrong, it did. But I'm here to tell you, I think if you were to ask any of the elders or the leaders of that church, even though it was a disastrous Sunday, what they would have said, and I hope they would say, because I would say it, it was still awfully good. You know why? The source material. The source material today you can't miss on. Well, you can if you get things way wrong, which is kind of what we're talking about in this series. I've pointed at a mistake that I've made, and then I broaden it out and show you a time in the church's history that we kind of lost the thread on the good news. Now, the good news is this. Jesus Christ is risen today. That means that Jesus Christ, the Bible calls him the first fruits of our salvation. What Jesus is after death is what we become, in a way. This is incredible news. It means that death does not mark the end of our lives, that we, in fact, erupt into joy, into a place where the Bible tells us there is no sadness, no sickness, no weeping, no death. This is the greatest day, an entry into that wonderful, amazing, never-ending story of love and grace is a very low mark. It's belief and faith in Jesus Christ, which the Bible itself tells us, the gift of God is our faith. We know that we're blessed by God because we believe in Jesus Christ, and because we believe in Jesus Christ, we know that we're going to live forever, and that's great news. And you know what's not in any of that? Guilt or fear or shame. Not a bit. Not a word of guilt. Not a word of fear. Not a word of shame. And yet, at times in the church's history, that's what we trade on, is guilt and shame and fear. And it marks a radical departure from what we have here. And we should never miss that. That entry and terms into this world, into this life are simple. Romans 10, 9 through 11 tells us if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's that stinking easy. We can't miss it. But you know, the church does at times. And it's a shame because they start layering on the guilt and the shame and the fear. And they usually do it to make money, right? We saw this in the 16th century, historically, as the church deviated from this simple message of grace and acceptance and love by God, and instead made it about guilt and fear and shame. And they were selling pathways to heaven for money to build and support their lavish lifestyles. It was a terrible, condemnable error. Because it misses the simplicity and ease of what Jesus Christ shows to Mary Magdalene first, to you and to the disciples and to the original followers next, and then to you and to I. Because what Jesus shows us, what Mary encounters, is at the worst possible moment. Don't miss this. The worst possible moment of her life, when not only has her friend died, but her other friends are cowering in fear in a room, and she herself has the fear of being crucified herself, which happened to followers of failed messiahs every time. But there in that moment of sorrow and sadness and despair, Jesus Christ comes into her life. And this isn't some abstract God that comes in a beam of light. This is a man, flesh and blood and bone, and we know it because he revealed himself to Mary and he embraced her in that moment of despair. He said to her, despite the context of your life, despite what it is to be alive right now, which is feared, afraid rather, terrified, worried, anxious, hopeless. And instead, Jesus Christ brought his light into that moment, shining it resplendently, and said, here I am. Here I am. We know that Jesus, as we've talked about, is in fact the first fruits of our faith. First fruits, meaning Jesus shows us in himself after the resurrection what we have in store for us in the kingdom of God. Friends, don't miss that when Jesus returned, Jesus was identifiable to his friends. They didn't not know he was Jesus when he revealed himself to them over bread, because Jesus was really, truly alive. He ate. In fact, a man after my own heart in a lot of different ways. If we encounter him in John 21, you know what he's doing? Man, he's grilling fish, right? He's calling his buddies in from the fishing, and he's got the food ready for them. You see, Jesus Christ reveals to us what you and I will become in the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't miss it, because it is wonderful. What the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 is that this cloak of perishability, this thing that sin, the thing that leads us to our death, will be removed from us in the kingdom. That we will put on imperishability, which means that our bodies will not be prone to the ravages of sickness, sadness, despair, and doubt. We will instead live forever in a state of bliss where there is no scarcity, no sadness, no sickness, no war. Physically embodied. That means something. That means that who you are sitting in your pew right now is who you're going to be forever. There's not a hint that you'll be a cockroach or a cow if you're especially good. You will be you, but better. Freed from the thing that leads you to that dark place where you know Jesus would not have you go. You're free from that. So is everyone. You know, it's interesting. We got to watching a television show that was really pretty interesting on a lot of fronts. It was called The Good Life, or The Good Place. Sorry, I got it wrong. And it kind of spelled out what life would be like after death if it was, in fact, a works-based righteousness system. It's a really interesting thing. But what we get in that is we get eternal life with the errors and the problems. And that's not heaven. Heaven is a place where we will dwell without time. Time itself will be absurd. That we will be surrounded by love, surrounded by the awareness that Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are our comrades and our friends as we walk together with those that we love and those who across the history of time have lifted high the cross and shared the name of Jesus Christ with others. Friends, the good news that we proclaim today is that death has been vanquished. The sting of it has disappeared, just like the sting of our penalty of our sin, that Jesus Christ has taken it away. And friends, we look into the passages like Revelation 21 and then in Isaiah 25, and we find that there'll be rich food and wine and that enemies will lay in peace with one another. It's that nice food and wine that I'm counting on. I'm counting on there being some cookie butter donuts. My guys know what I mean. The fact of the matter is that what we declare today, friends, is the greatest news of all time. There is no better story, and the great good news is that we're all a part of it. Because everyone here, even if it's just a little glimmer or it's a resplendent shining light, each and every one of us believe in Jesus Christ. You would not have come here today if you didn't. And because you believe in Jesus Christ, there's a couple of things that I can declare to you at this very moment. That you are indeed saved. That you believe in Jesus Christ. That is the marker for eternal life. That's why Easter Sunday is such good and amazing news. It's so good that even when there's Eastergeddon, you can't miss the greatness. Because the greatness is that God's plan is now revealed among us. The Old Testament points to this time where Jesus Christ rises from the dead. And it points to that moment to say that a new covenant has been issued. A new covenant not written on tablets of stone, friends. A new covenant etched upon the contours of our hearts so that we never have to go far to find God. That God is dwelling inside of us richly by the power of His Holy Spirit. Friends, with that belief, with that resonant understanding of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, we know some things. We can do anything. Read the word. Those who believe, if we ask for it, it will happen. I believe that to be 100% indelibly true. And so as you look at your life, and perhaps you find brokenness and sorrow, know that Jesus Christ is the balm in Gilead, that He will amend your soul. Know that no matter what comes, no matter what disease may ravage you or what society might become, that you are resting safe and secure because God has promised you the protection of His Holy Spirit, and that begins in this abundant life and continues into the eternity that awaits us. And friends, when you really realize that, all your fears, all your anxieties, all your sadness, all your sorrow, all your bitterness, all of that gall, it just fades away. Like bad memories of Eastergeddon, and what comes shining through every single time is that same moment that Mary had enjoyed, that you've enjoyed too, of Jesus Christ coming into your darkness and your doubt and your despair and your drama and saying, "You are mine. I love you. And we will exist together in the kingdom of God forever and ever in a place that you will be loved and cherished and get to love and cherish forever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen." We come now into a time of prayer. You know, the Presbyterian Book of Order says that this is the most important time of our worship, this drawing together of God's will by God's people. We believe that God not only hears what we lift up, not only in words, but from the depths of our heart, and He greets that with us and lets us know that He's not only hearing our words, that He's indeed answering our prayers. Friends, we see this at this church all the time. Prayers are answered. Good news is declared. Let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank You for this, Your holy and everlasting Easter Sunday. God, You are so great, so wonderful, so kind, and so powerful. And this day, we just relish in our heart. And Heavenly Father, whether we burn the ham or whether we argue with our loved ones, just bless us with that strong and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ has died, Jesus Christ is risen. And Father God, what joy and what hope it gives us to know that Jesus Christ will come again. And so, Heavenly Father, in that place, we look out and see a world still broken by sin, and we lift it up to You all in prayer. We just ask, Father God, do Your work. Bring Your miracles. Enact Your grace so that every knee may bow to You, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we think of all the people in our church who are struggling this Resurrection Sunday. And so we pray for Charlie McCrary and Bev Weldy. We pray for Linda Lynn and Matt Thompson. We pray for Jenny Dunn and Jill Griffin. Pray for Tom McClure and Dale Lucky. We pray for Bruce. We pray for those that are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for the many that stand in need of intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers to You, hopeful and expectant of Your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong and holy and everlasting and resurrected name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being, It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, with hearts overflowing with love, let us prepare to give our offerings and tithes. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you for the opportunity to return your blessings back to you. Gracious God, bless this offering and all that we give to you with the abundance of your Holy Spirit and use it to bring about your world, will in your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I don't have my little remote mic on. Normally, I would come down there and let you know to really take this time and take a moment to do a couple of things. First of all, rejoice in the good news and gather around the people that you love and just celebrate the resurrection. If something is weighing on your heart today, if today is the day that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ or maybe rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, We have a prayer room open. Come and find way and let us lay hands on you and let us really claim you yet again for the Lord Jesus Christ. You were always his. Let us let you know that again. And friends, if not, let's rejoice and celebrate, for Jesus Christ is risen today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now may the grace of the Lord, the love of the God and the Father Jesus Christ be with us this day and forever. And yes, that was a mess, but it works and we're good. God bless us each and every one. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed.